Life has its ups and downs, and like many of us, I face moments with depression. Music has always helped me find my way through, and I believe it can do the same thing for you. I'm James Cox, and this is the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, a podcast about the healing power of music.
Hey everybody, welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks, where we fight depression with the power of music. I'm your handicapped host, James Cox, and I have another interview, but tonight's guest is a true heavy metal survivor, best known as the legendary guitarist of Wasp. Chris Holmes became one of the most unforgettable faces in the 1980s metal era. But his story goes far beyond the fame, the chaos, and the headlines. From rebuilding his life to continue his passion for music, today, Chris is now pushing forward with his new band, Terminal, and his great band, that great lineup that is too, who are currently in production for their upcoming album. This is more than a conversation about metal history, though. This is a conversation about survival, passion, and the power of never giving up. Chris, how are you doing, brother? How's everything going?
Good. I'm still here, you know.
Hey, man, that's better than the alternative, right?
Right. Being 6 feet under or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll all eventually end up there.
Yeah. Life, there's always going to be death. You know, you can't.
Yeah. When things get bad or whatever, and you think, I always look at it this way. In 100 years from right now, this world will still be turning. God knows what kind of condition it's going to be in.
Right.
You know, right. I mean, even if it's inhabitable, but we'll all be gone. Everybody.
Right. Yeah. You know? Hopefully it'll be in a better position than it is now. You know.
What we're doing to the planet right now, I don't think so.
No.
I think it's past the tipping point once the glaciers start melting. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
But
you've had a very wild career, if I might call it wild. Something that would be because a lot of people want that fame and notoriety. You know, looking back, would you go through it all again if you had to today, or would you just like, I'm going to do like construction worker or something? You know.
I wouldn't trust certain people.
Okay.
I've learned to, I in this business, I trusted the wrong people. Okay. That I thought were my like brothers and they weren't.
Right.
So I always got a motto called DTA, don't trust anyone. But would I change anything? You know, my dream was when I was young to be famous, you know, and that happened, I guess. And certain, you know, I'm sure you've seen this movie called The Decline of Western Civilization that I was in.
Yeah.
That I was happened to be just filmed at the right time, at the wrong moment, or whatever you want to
call
it.
Right time, wrong moment, yeah.
To me, it was a stupid interview, you know. But anyway, things like that. I've been married three times, and it's just getting older and you trust certain people, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't change anything. I've lived a great life. I out of everybody's upbringing, you know, being eight until about 18 that I know, I had the best out of everybody I know, you know, I didn't have a dad there telling me what to do, putting his thumbs on my back. My mom was the one who brought me up. I had stepdads, you know, and I never listened to a damn thing they said, but like, I should have.
Right. We all should have,
Oh, yeah. Now that I'm older, whatever they said was right. You know, I mean, they're both stepdads are dead now, but when they tried to teach me, I wouldn't listen. You know, I was an idiot.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I thought I knew everything. Huh. You know, but well, and then you know, living the rock and roll life with the drugs, the chicks, the partying. Yeah, I did it the hardest you could possibly do it, you know, and still and still survive, still be here.
Right.
I wouldn't have changed anything. I'd love. I had a, you know, you know, as me being out of the WASP thing, I don't see myself playing in. It'd be, if I played in WASP now, it'd be a joke.
Okay. Yeah.
For me,
yeah.
It'd be a joke.
Right.
You know, it's a joke. It got to the, when I was doing it, it got so depressing because I knew we were sampling and we were faking it. When I grew up in 1972, I went and saw Deep Purple play Long Beach Arena.
Nice.
I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it just blew my mind, man. The energy, whatever, Blackmore and fuck Gillan singing, just the what came off stage, and it was real. Real.
Yeah.
Wasn't no sampling crap. It was right. Real,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, real and powerful. Yeah.
It was real. So, like, when WASP started, there wasn't any sampling. And then it got, after the Headless Children, it started sampling. And I just always felt in my heart, when I walked off stage, I was ripping the crowd off. Just the way I am.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I felt that way. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
You know?
When you first started, the whole WASP journey, going back in time, were you, I'm not worried about the other band, were you, like, terrified or happy about, like, becoming famous for the first time? Because many people are kind of iffy on, like, not being famous or kind of scared about being it, you know?
No, that just,
okay.
That just goes along with the, you know, I grew up with Van Halen.
Yeah.
And before they were ever really played clubs, I knew if they did a record deal, he'd be huge. I just, how he played guitar, you know? Yeah. I mean, I saw them go from backyard parties to the US Festival, whatever, you know, saw that. I'm not going to say I was part of it. I witnessed it, and Ed was my friend. And I just dreamed that I could have been able to do that in that instance. I never got the chance, you know, the way I look at things.
Right.
And as being famous, it just long, you know, once WASP, the first album came out. Yeah. You're famous. It's just, it's just part of the business, the way it is. A lot of people think that I'm completely different than what they perceive me as, you know. They still perceive me as being a drunk in a swimming pool,
right,
doing drugs and not giving a crap about anything, you know, which I quit drinking in 96.
Oh, good. 30
years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drinking makes you stupid.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you smart. It is fun. Yeah. It is fun to have a good time and fall down and do all that crap, but it just makes you stupid.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And believe me, I don't have the highest IQ to start off with.
Oh, I don't either. I do not either. Yes, sir. It's
you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, being famous never scared me. You know, I wanted to be okay. When I was in my teens. I dreamed about it. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I dreamed about it, but you know, then it's, you know, when you go on the road, you start doing your first album and boom, you know, everybody knows who you are. It gets to be, some people I've witnessed, it goes to their head. Their heads get so big and it's an embarrassment to even be around them. There's a right. bunch of people in this business I have been with that are like that. And it's embarrassing to even be around them. I can't believe it. And then there's other people that, you know, it's just the way it is, and they don't care about it, you know?
Yeah. To go back and piggyback off of what you said earlier, when people hear your name, Chris Holmes, you know,
yeah,
they instantly picture, of course, the Wild Man, the from WASP, you know, the big bad dude, right? But when you're completely alone with your thoughts today, what do you believe that Chris Holmes now is really all about?
I couldn't tell you, you know, what I'm about today.
Yeah.
I kind of question myself, why do I still play music? A lot of times, but I enjoy the hell out of it.
Right.
I enjoy it. You know, a lot of times I play for, I would say when I tour, it costs so much, I come back and I don't make any money. So I'm actually playing for free, but it doesn't bother me because I enjoy playing in front of people. That was my bag all my life. Right. Recording's one thing, you know, but you're stuck in a room and this and that, you know, trying to make something that people are going to buy and hear. But playing live, that's where I enjoy it the most, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I, you know, as that's how the best I can answer your question.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. The way I look at myself. I don't look at myself as a crazy guy or whatever, you know. I did a documentary a few years back called The Mean Man.
Yes.
It shows a different aspect. It shows the way I really am. You know, one of my friends goes, Chris, in that documentary showed you in a dinky little car, the trailer. Aren't you embarrassed of that? And I go, what do you mean embarrassed? He goes, well, you come from a situation where you were on a tour bus, you had roadies and everything. I go, no, I'm not embarrassed of it. That's the way life is. I could put up a big persona that I'm doing this and that and that, but I would hate myself.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Was there a moment ever in your life that you looked in the mirror and realized your lifestyle was actually destroying you in the time of the 80s and you know, being with one of the biggest metal bands in history, you know?
You mean it didn't destroy me? It ruined my reputation.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
You know, there's a lot, like, once I was out of WASP, who's going to hire me?
Right.
I got a bad reputation for being an alcoholic, drunk, somebody that doesn't give a shit about. But that's where, hey, that's rock and roll, man.
Yeah.
That's the way, you know, let's look at what people perceive Keith Richards as, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ozzy Osbourne, the way he was.
Yeah. Understandable. You know? Yeah.
So you know, I'm not a stupid person. I have dyslexia. So I can't read. This will blow your mind. I've never read a book.
Never.
Never.
Oh, wow.
Never. Wow. I have dyslexia, so I can't read that well. I still have problems trying to figure out words today, you know? I used to remember when I was a kid, I'd walk in my mom's room and she'd be reading a book. I remember she'd always read these books called Harold Robbins. They're like sex novels or whatever. I don't know. I go, Mom, what are you doing? She goes, I'm reading. I go, why do you read? She goes, because you can make pictures in your head while you're reading. I'm like, I just couldn't fathom that. And then I never found out I had dyslexia until I was 36 years old.
Okay.
I didn't know it.
Yeah.
And then a doctor diagnosed me as it just accidentally, you know. And but it's okay. If I could read well, I probably wouldn't have played guitar.
Okay.
You know, I would have done where I grew up at. This town I grew up in is right next to a place called JPL, which stands for Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which is part of NASA. And the town that I grew up in is most of the people's parents are scientists.
Okay.
And I would have, if I would have excelled in school, I would have probably ended up working for JPL.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Dan, let's get on Terminal. That's what you called me about.
Terminal, yes. About Terminal. Yes, right, yeah. Terminal. Okay. Yeah, so...
How did it start or whatever?
Okay, so let's do this. This is... Okay, so do you like the term supergroup or no? Because
Terminal is... Why? Would you consider the people in this a supergroup?
I think so. I mean, you got Josie Scott from Saliva, Brian Wheat from Tesla, Tommy from Tesla also, and you got you, of course, and then you got Sal from Stained, which did the studio drops only. So So yes, I think it's a super group, but many
Oh,
musicians
for
don't like to be called super group.
no, if that's the way people look at it, that's fine.
Okay.
You know,
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine with me, you know.
Right.
I don't look at it like that. I mean, I look super musicians, Jimi Hendrix, Eddie Van Halen, Alex Van Halen drums. Those guys are to me, and maybe I shouldn't talk and about and involve the other guys in Tesla about this, but
Okay.
I feel that those guys are up at a higher level of musicianship than what I am. Okay. I mean, you know, but it's super group. You know, I get, you know, it is called show business.
Right.
Which
Yeah.
two things, show and business, have nothing to do together, you know, but it's Terminal. Like, we're gonna tour next year. We have that in the planning.
Right.
You know, unless something happens to somebody or whatever, you know, we'll have to suss that out. But we're going to plan that to tour next year and to get that going and whatever, release the record. I don't really, we haven't really figured out a name for the record. If it's,
Okay, yeah.
I had cancer 4 years ago, and Br Brian was sweet, and I kind of started this situation 3 years ago. Well, I met him on the cruise boat, on the Monster Cruise, and Brian's got a house in Italy. I live in Nice, or by Nice, I live in Cannes, which is close to Nice in France. Okay, which is by the Mediterranean. Brian goes, "Hey, come and visit me when I'm in Florence." He has a place in Florence, so I went and visit him, and he goes, "Chris, yeah, well, blah blah, start a group. Let's." Start a group. Let's start writing some songs. He goes, "I'll give it a 50-50 chance. Yes, it'll do. No, it won't." He goes, "But if it doesn't, I'd still like to be your friend. I like you as a human,
Yeah,
like your
I agree.
personality," which is cool. And
Yeah.
then we've taken little steps when we got together, and this and that, and it's where, you know, if to get to where we want to is 10 steps, we're on 4 right now, about
Okay.
to take the fifth step. Yeah. Or fifth? No, we're on the fifth step because we got the fifth member of the band in.
Okay. Yeah, I
Yeah.
yeah.
And what's the most important thing about this thing, Terminal, is Brian's got us all together, and so we hung out and whatever, you know, went to dinner, cracked jokes together, spent a little bit of time together to see how we get along.
Yes, that's number one. Yeah.
That's number one before anything.
Right.
Before I don't before you planning on selling records, because I don't want to tour and put up with somebody's bullshit that I've had to do all these years. I just don't want to do it.
Understood.
Brian,
Yeah.
I
Understood.
want to be around people I enjoy being around. That you know, I'm not gonna say that if I was a heroin addict, I'd want to be around heroin addicts.
Yeah.
Know, if I was an alcoholic, I'd want to be around alcoholics, but I'm not. I want to be around, I don't want to say out of their mind people, you
Right.
know.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody has a good sense of humor in this situation, you know.
Nice.
You
Nice.
know. And as of what we do live, I couldn't tell you
Okay.
what it's
Yeah.
gonna be like. I couldn't tell you what it's gonna be like until we play live.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, because you're in process of recording the album now, and you said we don't have the title for it, which is fine, you know, because I guess
For the
everything.
record, for the record.
Record, yes,
Yeah,
sir.
yeah, yeah. I got the title for it's probably sitting downstairs in the basement here. I got them.
Somewhere, right? Yeah.
Well, what I do when I write Mean Man songs, I sit there, and if I once I think up a good song title, boom, I write it down.
Yeah, oh
So
yeah.
I got on the wall down by my desk, I got a cork on the wall, and I got probably 20 sheets of paper with song titles on it. So it'll hit me someday. I'll be looking at it. I came up with the name Terminal because I was thinking, Brian's like, "We got to think of a name." And I was like, one night I was thinking of a cool name. I was thinking of Terminal Cancer, you know,
Yeah.
because I had cancer. And then I just said, well, screw the cancer. That's something bad that nobody wants to hear.
Right.
But terminal, I go, terminal. Wow, that's a good idea. So I text Brian. I go, hey, Brian, what about the name Terminal? And he's like, nah, that ain't going to work. And then 10 minutes later, he thought about it.
Like, yeah,
that's a cool idea. And then we checked and see if we could get the domain, you know, that to get the name.
Right.
Is that somebody else didn't have it or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, that's always the main worry is if somebody has it, you know. Especially now with all these new bands coming out, you never know who has what now, you know.
Well, the new bands coming out, you don't know if they're AI.
Yes, exactly.
You know, yeah. and the way the computer industry is almost playing live, you could fake it now,
right?
Yeah. You know,
right.
Some bands can't play unless they have their computers.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know.
So you're in this band Terminal, and it's a great sounding band right now. But what was the okay? So does a Terminal band now give you? Do you feel different by creating this one than your past projects? You know.
No.
Okay. So it's the same old.
I'm just going to be a part of the gear of the situation that's going to move in this. I'm really curious to see what we're going to sound like live. It will sound good because the guy Tommy, the guy from Tommy Skill, he plays guitar, really cool. He uses a whammy bar, you know, a tremolo unit.
I don't use one.
I don't use one at all.
Okay.
So between our two guitars, it's completely different sounds.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know? And he's a real good guitar player, you know.
Yeah.
He's got a certain style. And then the Josie's, yeah, he's the coolest. He's got a good sounding voice.
I'm sure Josie's like the nicest person alive. Yeah. Yeah,
he's cool. He's also a cool guy to get along with. That's the main thing, you know.
I'm so glad they found all of his stuff, you know, from that guy who stole all of his stuff in the trailer or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad about that. So yeah, so when we hear this new music from Terminal, is there a site that you want us to see or discover that may be different from your other bands? I mean, like, is there a different side that you're willing to show us in this new project?
Well, put it this way, I ain't going to be wearing eye makeup.
There you go. Yeah. I bet that takes too long to put on anyway. Yeah.
That's just, this is going to be me being me and my band and my situation, Tommy being him, Brian being him, Josie's being him, you know. Conglomerate together to make this one thing work. And it should be good and have good energy. I'm not gonna say it should be, it will be.
It will be, yes sir. Yeah.
It will be good and it will kick ass, I guarantee it.
Nice.
If it doesn't kick ass, we ain't gonna do it.
There you go. Okay, so walking in the studio for the very first time with these amazing human beings, does it feel excited now that you're in with different company, or does it feel like it's another day? We're going to record this album, and that'll be that, you know.
Well, you mean on the Terminal stuff?
Yes. Walking in with the new Terminal band. Did walking in the studio feel exciting, or was like another day?
Oh, way exciting.
Okay.
Way exciting. Every time I recorded with Wasp, I had a foot on my neck and had to get done within 2 minutes and this. And it was always down the thing. And I always had, I just had a just total pressure on me the whole time. And I hated it. I couldn't stand it. This thing, there's no pressure on me to do anything, you know?
Yeah.
There isn't, you know, come in and play and do what you want. And Brian's a different way. Brian's really, really good at recording the music. You know, yeah. I'm not, I'm used to recording analog. Okay.
Yeah.
With speakers.
Right.
Amps. Brian's good at doing the computer. Really good at it. If he wasn't at a computer, I don't think this thing would even work without him. He's the glue. He's the catalyst. The whole situation.
Oh, yeah.
He's all
right.
You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 And, I enjoyed being with the people in the studio. You know, everybody's different. Everybody's got their own little problems with what they talk about or this or that, you know? And, Josie's had, he's had some ups and downs.
Oh, yeah.
In his career. I don't have kids, but he does, or he has, one of his kids passed away a few years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he went in, he was telling me, he just went into a kind of a depression. And it's hard for me to understand that because I don't have kids. You know, do you know why I don't have kids?
Why that?
Because kids should not have kids.
Fair point. Yeah.
Okay. So, but anyway, some people have them. And yeah, yeah, a few of my friends, I have another friend of mine, Rich Lewis, his kid died. He was a singer in a band that I was in called Where Angels Suffer. And his son passed away, and Rich went into a really heavy depression. And it's, I'm not going to say it broke the band up. It's just nobody could talk to anybody. And so I split to Europe and did my thing. And then Josie left Saliva because he was going through a pretty bad situation. You know, I mean, I don't know if he blames himself or whatever, you know, sad when your siblings, yeah. Cause your siblings should outlast you in life, you know?
Right. Right. Exactly.
So it probably is a heavy burden to put on, but anyway, he's getting over it. I watch him work in the studio, how he works, and he's cool. I enjoyed it. I enjoy being around the guy. It's going to be great.
Nice. Yeah, it's going to be amazing, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got a few more questions, but I do think you're coming on. So
yeah.
after surviving everything you have survived through, what still makes you need or want to pick up the guitar now?
To play?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Right here.
Okay. Heart. Yeah.
You know what that is?
What's that?
That's my heart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. That's my,
heart. That's what makes me play.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
So I enjoy it. I enjoy the electricity of the sound of a heavy ass sounding good guitar. I throw an acoustic guitar on me? No. That's not my bag. It's
okay. Yeah. So whatever. Here, Chris Holmes.
I mean, I can play one. I don't practice one, and I can play them. And I don't enjoy it. I don't do kumbaya or campfire.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
And it's but electric. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oop. You know.
Yeah. I think we lost your video. There we go.
Yeah. Somebody. I don't know what happened.
Okay. We're back. Yeah. So. Really, what we're saying is we're not going to get into a Chris Holmes Unplugged album yet. And then any kind of time we're going to do that. So
no,
I love it.
No
kumbaya.
You're not going to hear that.
Yeah.
And you're not going to hear a Chris Holmes ballad either.
No.
Well, you know what? Hang on. My last album, I did have a ballad on it. It's called In God's Hands.
Okay.
So I shouldn't say that. Yeah. I shouldn't say that. You know, I might have something a ballad to me is a slow song.
Yeah.
You know, do you know what BPM stands for?
Yes, sir. Beats per minute.
Okay, well, with BPMs lower than 170, that's a ballad.
Yeah. Oh, right, right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Most of the songs I write are 120 BPMs, you know, da 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 da. But anyway, it's Terminal. No, we haven't written a ballad yet.
Okay. Yeah. Hopefully soon, right? Yeah. So, never say never, right? Yeah.
Well, we have a few more things to actually fit together. Brian's idea. I know he wanted to have enough material for two albums before we ever put out the first album.
Oh yeah.
I asked him why, and he goes, "Chris, after we tour, He goes, "You think we're gonna get go in the studio right away and do a second album?" He goes,
"No, we're not gonna do that.
It'll already be in the package." And I go, "Oh, okay, I understand. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool."
Yeah. So he's planning for the future 10 steps ahead, which is always a good thing to do.
Yeah, we gotta plan ahead.
Yeah, good.
Plan ahead. Yeah.
Two more questions for you. So, do you think music has saved your life at certain points of your of? Do you think that music has saved your life at certain points in your, you know, your amazing career? You know.
I kind. Since I didn't end up getting my publishing
right
from the previous band. No, I'm not gonna say it saved my life.
Right.
I was doing heavy drugs and drinking from the day I started doing music, you know. And I used to burn the candle at both ends. I don't know why I'm still alive today. I didn't plan to live past 40.
Right.
When I was in my 20s, I didn't even want to care about making it to 30. I just wanted to, you know, I lived like a dog, as hard, as fast as I could.
Party.
Oh, yeah, party. That's what I did it for. Yeah, party. You know, but I wish I would have taken more steps and treated it like a business. But put it this way, I didn't get into this music thing to be at business. I got into it because my heart.
Right. Right.
To play. Mm-hmm. Because to play, you know, I enjoyed playing, you know.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
And so, yeah, I don't think the music business saved me, but I enjoyed doing it. I enjoyed it. The ride was fun. I just trusted the wrong people.
Well, I mean, I think we go through life learning what to do from life because there's no guidebook. You know, there's no guidebook to life.
Yeah,
you just have to figure it out the way, you know, you're meant to, you know, I guess. And you live, you learn, I guess, you know?
Yeah. If I'm leaning back, it's my dog's messing with me.
Oh, okay. But that's fine. That's fine.
My wife, she gets a rescue dog, right? And look what she brings home. This thing.
That big old thing. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Great Pyrenees.
Right, yeah, big dog.
Oh yeah, huge,
big
huge.
Dog. Yeah, I'm
huge.
Sure.
And then when you know, because where I live, you have to go. You have to have a doggy bag. You know, when you go take it for a walk. Mm. Well, I don't want to step. You know, so anyway, this dog takes two.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Two doggy bags.
Right? Because they're
big enough.
Big things, right? Yeah. Right. Yeah. So.
But it makes me happy. But anyway, back to the music thing. Yes. Yeah. As you saved my life, you know, I lived the dream. I lived the dream growing up, and I, you know, lived hard. I saw a lot of, you know, people, my friends fall by the wayside, you know?
Yeah.
Some accidental, some not accidental,
yeah.
You know? So it's been a nice journey, and it's still going to continue.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Continue.
Yeah.
I have nothing but to look forward to for this thing in Terminal.
There we go.
Plus, I'm still going to do my band, Mean Man.
Yep.
And I got another group on the other side of Mean Man. It's called Holmes, and Holmes plays nothing but Wasp songs that I wrote.
Oh, great! Yeah.
Okay. All Wasp, except the songs I wrote, and I got a singer that's really good at singing that has the same tonality as Blackie. When I do Mean Man, I do my personal songs that a lot of people hate my voice and think I suck, but that's okay. Hey, they don't buy it. Don't listen to it.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Don't listen to it, you know? But I enjoy creating songs and ideas with the little words that I know. I was reading, trying to read the comments on one of my videos, and that somebody wrote, because lyrics are about fifth grade reading ability, and I felt good about that because that's what I got.
Right.
That's what I got. I got fifth grade reading ability. I don't try to be all, you know, it's eccentric and this and that on words. I don't want to be.
Right.
You know?
Make it simple. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, in Terminal, it was funny. There was a song that I pulled out of an old boneyard of songs that I saved that I wrote with Filthy Animal Taylor, right? The riff that I wrote, and the drums were not matching the guitar on what I had saved, what I had recorded and saved. And anyway, Brian, I go, hey, this riff's cool. Let's do you think we can do something with this riff? Brian goes, oh yeah, definitely we can. So he listened to the song, and I remember him, he goes, man, Chris, how high were you guys when you were doing this? I go, we were wasted as we were high as fuck. So anyway, that song, the name of it was High as Fuck. What the song became on, you know, the riff, and there's a bunch of things that Tommy added to the song and Brian did, but it was, we actually had it called High as Fuck. And then before we brought in Josie, this last year, before we brought Josie in, I go, Brian, when we send him the songs, we cannot write High as Fuck on that song. It's got to be numbers.
Right.
Numbers. Because if it says High as Fuck, that's what the songs he's going to probably call it. So we got to have him be the best of mind ability of him writing songs. We give him numbers. Song one, song two, song three. So anyway, the first song he did sing to was that song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he named it Crazy Pills, which is about being what? Being high as fuck.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a deja vu, man?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, come here. My dog's wanting to get out.
But, oh, great. Okay. Yeah. Well,
that's all right.
Oh yeah, well, one of the best titles I've ever heard on record is one of your albums called "Shitting Bricks." I thought that was, oh my god, that's hilarious! You know, I mean, it was a great time to write that album, right?
Well, that's an expression where you're so bricks, scared you're shitting bricks,
right?
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
That was written around a song running from the police.
Okay. Yeah.
You know. I was so scared. I was shitting bricks.
Yeah,
you know? Trying not to get caught.
Right, that's something you don't want to do. You know,
but when I grew up, there wasn't helicopters around in Pasadena.
Right.
The CHP just built a heliport, but they just started flying them. Kind of, I had a dirt bike, right, in my teens, and where I lived, there was horse trails everywhere.
Okay.
So when the cops chase you on the street, you know, you got a dirt bike, there's no license, no lights, no nothing. Go to pull you over, you just pull up the horse trail.
Mary.
And usually they have a pole in the horse trail so you can't drive a car.
Hmm.
Yeah, and there was one time where a cop on a motorcycle was chasing me. I come up this big hill, and I go flying up on my dirt bike, and I look back, and the cop's got... the back of his motorcycle's up in the air, and he's going over the handlebars.
Oh, I thought that was funny.
He crashed, but you're running from the cops, and that's when, you know, it's the song's about shitting bricks. I'm most paranoid, scared.
Nice. Yeah. Well, the last question I have for you is going to be kind of hard question for you, but I don't know, you might knock this out of the park. We're going to do like a Mount Rushmore of your four favorite artists right now. Who would it be? Your favorite four bands, singers, guitarists, whatever you want to.
Okay, that would first Hendrix.
Hendrix, perfect. Okay.
Johnny Winter.
Oh my God! Yes. Yeah.
Van Halen.
Okay.
Black Sabbath.
Can't go wrong with that, you know.
No, that's my favorites right there.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, awesome.
I said them. I know who my favorites are. I said them fast.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I would assume that Black Sabbath would be the permanent band to stick with, because they're the godfather of the metal. So, you know.
But you have Hendrix, who electrified the guitar like no other. You can't beat that guy for what he did, the energy he did. Van Halen was my friend. you know, whatever, just my favorites, you know.
So, before we let you go, does Terminal have a website right now, or are we still working on that? Because I haven't found it.
We're working on it right now. Getting it all together and all the stuff. That's how you got this interview. Through the, I don't know if they, the publicist.
I guess it's like email blast or something.
Well, there'll be a, the website will start coming together with everything. Probably in about 2 months. I know Brian's hands are really full. Month, not that full, but he starts in halfway through June touring with Motley Crue. So that's, he's kind of, you know, got to do that.
Right.
You know, with Tesla. That ought to be a good tour, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen Tesla, but I hear they're amazing live.
You got some cool songs. It's, you know, it's with Tesla, it's more about the music, you know, versus Wasp and Motley Crue about the image.
Right.
And the music.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but Tesla's about, you know, they don't dress up and put on makeup and try to be something they're not. They're the real people on
stage.
They're
the real deal, yeah.
Yeah, it's like Metallica. They're the real deal.
Yep. Yeah, they don't dress up. They just get on stage and go at it, man. They don't care.
Right.
Yeah, so that's great. Right. You know, so. Chris, we do love you here when we're chilling. We beg you to come back anytime, okay?
Cool, man. I appreciate doing the interview. Yes, I hope I answered your questions.
Everything
the right
was
way.
Yes, sir.
All right, cool.
Just stay here for a minute, okay?
Yeah.
All right. And with that said, everybody, thank you for listening to this episode today. And always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.